Well, I don't know if it's better to follow that or worse to follow that. We'll find out. As they are getting that set up, would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we come to you. We're thankful. We come with thankful hearts because we are able to see how blessed we are, how you have blessed us. You have brought great talent. You have brought wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ that want to serve you in so many ways. And we rejoice in that. We celebrate what you have done and do. Father, I pray that as the message is given, that it would not detract from what you're wanting to say to us, but that it will solidify the truth of who you are and what you want to do in us. We ask, God, that you would bless your word as is spoken today, and that lives would be changed. It's been great to sing praises to you, but now, Father, we ask for our hearts to dwell upon your word and to receive that which you would have us to take in today. We love you, Lord, and we praise your holy name for who you are and what you are going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, I've got to start by giving a couple thank yous. I want to thank Craig and Sharon for filling in to me. Sharon filled in on Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays for me. And then Craig preached for me a couple Sundays, and I'm so thankful for their willingness to do that so that my bride and I could get away for a little bit. Somebody asked me one time, you know, aren't you afraid? You bring in these great preachers. You got Mike, you got Craig. I mean, if Dave filled in for me, it would all be great preaching. Aren't you afraid of that? I'm like, no, because if they're better than me, they'll be glad when I take vacations. It's not so hard. So I'm grateful for their hearts. I've heard nothing but positives while I was gone. You know, it always seems like when I go on vacation, something always happens tragic. Whether I go on a mission trip with the youth, the World Changers, a lot of times I go on vacation. This last vacation was no different. We only had a couple days left and got the phone call. Somebody I really care about in the sheriff's department, daughter passed away. And I know this sounds stupid, but I got to just tell you, I feel guilty because I'm on the beach enjoying, and I can't get to that person that I care about. There's nothing I can do to get there. But I know the one that can. So I prayed. Got into the office Monday. My first call was to him. Told him I would be over there Wednesday. I knew he had a lot on his plate. So, Wednesday afternoon, after me having a doctor's appointment, I went to go see him, and two purposes. One, to talk about the celebration of life for his daughter we're going to have here at the church, September 6th. Calling hours are 4 to 6, and then we'll have a small celebration at 6 o'clock for her. So I am grateful that we're able to do that for him. But my other purpose was to lead him to Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, before I left that house, he prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior and his Lord. Oh, but it gets better. It gets better. As I'm giving the gospel to him. And what was cool about this gentleman is that he believed everything he needed to believe. He'd been in church a lot of his life. He knew who Jesus was, believed in who Jesus was, but he didn't. He said these words, I don't know the next step. I don't know how to get from this to this. And so I began to explain to him, you know, the devil believes Jesus is the Christ. The devil saw him resurrect, but he's not going to go to heaven and spend eternity. In fact, he's going to be destroyed in the end. He's going to be thrown into the pit of hell. So what's the difference? It's lordship. We have to make Jesus the Lord of our life, and that's where the devil will not go. Someday he's going to kneel, but it'll be because of he's a conquered foe. We all will kneel before Jesus. We'll either do it because he's our Lord, or we'll do it because he's the conquering king. I don't know about you, but I want to do it because he's my Lord. And so I was sharing that with him, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed their 12-year-old daughter was sitting on the couch. And she just kept leaning in more and more into the conversation. And so he prayed to receive Jesus. And their 12-year-old daughter also prayed to receive Jesus that day as well. They're here with us this morning, and I want them to know that I love them. And this church loves you. And we're going to talk about that kind of love today. We're going to talk about I will follow Jesus and understand that in order to follow Jesus, you must first come to Jesus. You've got to come to that point in your life where you realize that you can't do it anymore on your own. You can't live life the way you've always lived it because you realize there is no substance to it. There is no hope in it. And finally, you hear the words, come to me, and you reach out and you grab Jesus with all you have. You don't always understand what that's going to mean. You don't even know what following Jesus is going to look like. But that's what brings us to the message this morning, because we're following Jesus. We're going to share the glory. And that's going to be our topic today. So as I come to you, I'm going to throw some mind-blowing truths and to some texts that you're probably familiar with, but hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to bring out some new truths that will make us and cause us to clap and stomp and raise our hands and just praise the one true God with all of our hearts today. Verse 17 and 19 of John chapter 17, if you have your scriptures before you, turn with me to John 17. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 26, and I know what you're thinking. Oh my gosh, it is already 11:30. We should be going to lunch. Don't worry, those restaurants will be there. And as my doctor told me Wednesday, it ain't going to hurt me to miss a meal. So it's all good. We'll be fine. What did you need to know in John chapter 17 is that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the night in which he's going to be betrayed. It is the night in which he's going to be arrested. It is the night he is going to be tried. And it is the weekend that he is going to die for our sins. In the midst of understanding and knowing all that, the Lord falls on his face before God the Father and begins to have a conversation. Many times we talk about prayer, and we need to remember that there's some people who don't know what praying is. They don't understand prayer. What is prayer? And we just need to realize that praying is just a conversation. You know, people say all the time, I don't know how to pray. Well, you have no problem talking to everybody else. I hear you do it. All you're doing is talking to God. And we don't have to talk in the King James to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Father, thou art the greatest in thy kingdom. Nobody talks like that. I don't even think God talks like that. We say, Lord, I'm struggling today. And you know what's going on in my heart. You know what's going on in my mind, and it's not good. I need you to straighten me out today. See, that's conversation. Jesus is having a conversation with Dad. And he begins to have a conversation about their relationship, about the purpose in which he was on the earth. But then, as you go on in chapter 17, he changes that conversation from their relationship then to his relationship to those disciples that are around him right now. Those 11 that have truly followed him. He even mentions the 12th one that was lost. Jesus talks about how I've kept every one of them except that one. I knew he wasn't going to go all the way with me, but all the others I've kept. And Jesus prays for them because he knows what they're going to face. Do you know that out of those 11, 10 of them die a martyr's death? Horrible deaths. They tried to kill John several times, and yet the Lord said, no, you're not. No, he's got a purpose. John's the only one who dies of old age. So he knows what's going to face them. But then after Jesus does something really awesome, after he's talked about his conversation with him and the Father, Dad, and now he's had a conversation about those disciples that are with him that day that he loves and about what they're going to face, he then changes the conversation to us. Jesus Christ prays for you and for me. I mean, I want you to think about that for a second. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is on his face before the Father, and we are on his heart and on his mind, and he begins to pray for us. And he has special prayers for us. He has a desire for us. And if we look at verses 17 through 19, we begin to see that desire. It says, sanctify them in truth. You know, there's been a question throughout history. Pilate even asked that question, what is truth? We ask that question today as we watch the news. What in the world is the truth? Sadly, we go to college and we have professors pouring into our students and we ask the question, what's the truth? See, there's the question in our world is what is the truth? Because if we know what truth is, I believe almost all of us would grab a hold of that and go, I believe that and I want to go with it. But when you don't know what truth is, it's hard to find your way. So Jesus says, I want you to sanctify them in truth. What is truth? He tells us, your word, Father, is truth. This that you have in your grubby little midst this morning, this is truth. You want to know what God wants you to know? This is where you go to find it. Now, he uses the term to sanctify us. He wants us sanctified in his truth. What does he mean? To sanctify means to set apart, but specifically for a godly purpose. Did you know when you asked Jesus into your life, he has now called you. He has set every single one of us for a purpose to serve him. We're not to be bumps in a pew. That there is a great privilege that has been bestowed upon us because Jesus prayed for that on our behalf, that we would be set apart. We wouldn't be like the rest of the world. We wouldn't talk like the world. We wouldn't think like the world. We wouldn't act like the world. We would be set apart. Why? So we could be about the purpose of the Father. So his prayer is for us to be sanctified, to be set apart so that we could be used for him. And then verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, for their sakes, for our sakes. Catch what he's saying here. For you and I, for our sakes, Jesus sanctified himself. He set himself apart for our sake. Why? That we also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus set himself apart for many reasons. One was to show us who God the Father was, because we've talked about this before, the picture of who God is was lost. It got lost somewhere through false teaching and false ideas. So Jesus came to show us who the Father is. We've talked about it all year. Jesus said, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Every time Jesus touched someone and healed them, that was God the Father's love. When Jesus fed people, that was God the Father providing. When Jesus loved the unlovable, that's the picture of who the Father is. So Jesus showed himself. He sanctified himself, set himself apart to show us the Father. But not only that, he set himself apart to die for us. He had a purpose, and nothing was going to keep him away from that purpose. The devil tried out in the wilderness 40 days. He didn't eat or drink, or he didn't eat and probably had to drink. And the devil came to him three times, tried to get him sidetracked. But Jesus did not lose track of his purpose. And you know why he didn't lose track? For our sakes. He saw us at the end of the road. And he wasn't going to let anything stand in the way. Now, all this is important because Jesus is setting an example for us. Okay? So he said, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. He was set apart for the Father. We too are to be set apart for the Father. Now we go on in verses 20 and 21. And Jesus goes on to say, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, talking about those disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word, continuing to talk about us. Now listen to what his desire is. Church, we need to grab this today. Old Town Hill, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about Old Town Hill Baptist Church needs to get this morning. Because this was the prayer the Father or the Son had for the Father. The conversation that he wants for us. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us. So why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. His prayer, his desire for all of us is that we would be unified as one. Not only just on Sunday morning, but the same way the Father and the Son were united as one. Now think about that for a second. You want to talk about the power of the church that's been given to us. If we do that, which the Lord has prayed for us, to be unified, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week, we have one another on each other's hearts, and we love one another through thick or thin, and we get past the petty little garbage that goes on in the church, fussing and fighting amongst each other. As your pastor, I love you, but I am up to here with the peddly little junk that goes on in the church. We are going against God's word when we fuss amongst each other over stupid stuff. And I have no problem looking you in the eye and telling you it's stupid. We are called God. Jesus is praying that we be unified, not just Sunday, but every day of the week, and as the Father and Son are. So what does that look like? Okay, so that's his prayer. We need to know how is the Father and Son unified, so we know if we're doing that, if we're working towards that. Well, there's several things. First off, the Father and Son were of the same mind. So we are to be of the same mind. The Father and Son were always in agreement on path and direction in all things. They knew from the beginning what the plan was, and they stuck to the plan. They agreed on the creation of the universe. Remember at the beginning of Genesis, they said, let us make man in our image. So they had one frame of mind that was one purpose. They've agreed on the plan of redemption, and even though Jesus in the garden in a little bit is going to say, Father, for your will that this cup could pass from me, but not your will, or but not my will, but yours. See, they knew plan of redemption, and they were going to stay on that. And so as the Father and the Son are of the same mind, we are called also to be of the same mind, to be led with a spiritual attitude. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let me read that again. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Boy, isn't that what we've just been doing today? Haven't we been coming together and singing songs together in agreement with one mind because we believe the same way? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God in flesh, and he deserves all praise, glory, and honor. So we sing to that end. We do this with thankfulness in our hearts to God. So one, we are to be of the same mind if we're going to be united like the Father and Son. Second, we are to be of the same love. As we gaze upon the Scriptures, the love of God is seen throughout. We can't deny it. But we too are called to love in the same manner. We are called to love each other equally. Now this is not an emotional love where one day you love one another and the next day you want to beat each other with a club. That's not the kind of love. He's talking about that unconditional love. That agape love. See, we have a will. We get to choose how we want to love one another. So we get to choice. We get to choose. And in the same way God loves, we also should love with one devotion. We should be devoted to one another. God was devoted to us. God's still devoted to Israel. Even though most of Israel still doesn't want anything to do with God, God's still devoted to them. They are still God's people. That's the way we've got to be devoted to one another, guys. We've got to love one another. Again, why? So that the world will know that God sent Jesus. It's great that we get along. That's awesome. We're to be a family, but it has a purpose. It's so that the world could see that this is different than what they have. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to step on one another's toes. But love works through that. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then he says this, give preference to one another in honor. You want to know why we fuss and fight in here? It's because of pride. We think our way is the right way, the best way, and we really don't care what anybody else thinks or what their desires are, and so we take our toys and we go home. We're to be devoted to one another. You want to follow Jesus. That's our theme for today. I will follow Jesus. He's given us the prayer which he desires for us. That we have the same mind. We have the same love. Third, we are to be in the same spirit. This literally means one souled. This talks about a passion with common commitment, which brings us to the same spiritual goals. We have four goals in this church. It's our purpose statement. Some of you are out there going, oh man, I don't remember that. I don't know that. Well, let me remind you, because this should be engraved in our hearts and our minds. This should be what we do when we come together and when we go out into the world. One is to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's number one. Two, we are to teach people about Jesus Christ. Three, we are to love like Jesus Christ. I'm going to get there. Fourth, we're going to serve like Jesus Christ. Those two I got out of order. Serve for Jesus Christ and to love like Jesus Christ. So reach, teach, serve, and love. Why? So that lives can be transformed. That's our purpose. So when we decide to do anything, when Tammy Bell and I get together and go, hey, let's do band day, is it going to reach? Is it going to teach? Can it serve? Can it love? It's got to at least do a couple of those things, or we're not doing our purpose. Everything we do as a church must fill that. Why do we pay the parking lot? So hopefully it'll reach some people that they know that we take care of God's stuff. We take pride in God's stuff. I'm sorry, I'll preach a little square. So no matter what, when you come to me and you have an idea of a ministry, the question I'm going to ask is, how does it reach? How does it teach? Is there serving in it? And how do we show love? It's got to fit one of those four things. If not, we don't do it because it's not our purpose. See, where a church goes haywire is when we forget our purpose. God the Father, God the Son never lost sight of being of the same purpose, one souled. See, when we have that spirit of having the same soul keeps us from selfish ambition, it keeps us from envy, and it keeps us from jealousy. Because we're all about the same thing. Lastly, we are to be of one purpose. We are to be of the same mind, love, and spirit. And if we do that, we will naturally, it'll come naturally, we'll be united in our goals and purpose. Philippians 1:27 says, only conduct yourselves in a matter worthy of the gospel. Let me back up. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Why do we do what we do? So that people can hear about Jesus and receive eternal life. People aren't going to come to know Jesus among a bunch of people who are backbiting, backstabbing, fighting, grubbing people all the time. They've got that out there. They'll come to know Jesus when they're apart and they see a body that loves one another through thick or thin, can have conversations and work things out. They want to be a part of something like that. And we're able to do that because we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. It's a gift that the Lord wants to give us. He goes on in verse 23. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in what? Unity. Perfected in what? Unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. See, if we choose to be a follower of Jesus, we become unified to one another for a great purpose. And like I said earlier, it's so that the world may know Jesus. I close with a wonderful promise in verse 22. This is awesome. This is the one that's going to make our heads explode. You ready? He says, the glory, now this is Jesus talking to the Father. Now don't picture this. The glory which you have given me, now think about the glory the Father's given Jesus. Okay? The glory which you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Understand what Jesus is saying here. That glory which he had been given, he's giving to us. That which the Father has given Jesus, that glory, he wants us to have it. The same honor, the same majesty, the same glory Jesus receives, he wants given to us. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm just happy to go to heaven. I'm just glad there's a mansion or a shack or whatever your heart wants. Listen, I'm just glad I get to go to heaven. But Jesus says that's not enough for my bride. I want them to have what I have. You know, I got to do a wedding earlier in the month. I got another wedding I get to do in October. I've got lots of weddings that I've done in the past. Here's the coolest thing about the wedding, I always think, is if it's here at the church, I'll be standing up here. Everybody will be seated, and the groom will be here, and the groomsmen, and the bridesmaids, and all of a sudden it gets quiet. Those doors will open up, and a certain song will play. And that song gets everybody's attention. And if the preacher is doing what he should do, but most people know what to do, you hear the words, "Please rise." Why? Because the bride is coming. And the doors open up, and here comes the bride with her father getting ready to give her away. And they walk down, and all eyes are on that bride. Now, I don't know, husbands, you can disagree with me, but I think that is probably the day that the bride will look the most beautiful, is on her wedding day. She'll have this beautiful white flowing gown, pretty flowers, and she'll have a smile you can't peel off with a chisel. And she'll walk down, and everybody's focus is on the bride. That day, she's receiving glory. See, that's what Jesus wants for us. There's going to be a day when all eyes will be turned on the bride of Jesus Christ. Not because of what we've done, but because of who we are in Him. That's His prayer for us. I don't understand why Jesus wants us to have His glory, but I'll take it. Isn't that awesome? That ought to be an amen in there somewhere. That ought to be a hallelujah. That ought to be a foot stomping praise of the Lord. We get the glory of Jesus placed upon us. Verse 25, he continues his prayer, "O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." That love the Father loves Jesus with, He wants in us. He wants us to have that kind of love. We should have that kind of love for our Heavenly Father, and we should have that kind of love for one another. To have a purpose. Now, I told you, I had a friend come and last Wednesday, and I'm going to have Maddie. You said you'd do this, right? You ready? Come on up, Maddie. Have you practiced a little bit? Okay, come on up here. And you can come up here with me. Now, Tammy wouldn't let me sing. Test it. Say hello. A little bit louder.
Hi.
Yellow. Say a little bit louder.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, tell them your name.
I'm Maddie.
Tell them what you did Wednesday. Okay. When you asked Jesus in your life, you prayed to receive Jesus.
I received Jesus.
Wednesday, right?
Wednesday.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Tammy wouldn't let me sing. She said, Kyle, her favorite, gets to sing, but I didn't get to sing with her. So Maddie said, well, I'll sing with you. But you're going to help us. Would you stand? Would you put that up? Don't sing this if you don't mean it. Are you ready? Here we go. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Here we go. Three. I can't hear you, congregation. Sing it. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know Christians by our love. We're going to sing one more. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Church, is that your prayer this morning? That we will be united as one. Listen, if a 12-year-old little girl that just received Jesus can stand in front of us and sing, I think we could be faithful to that prayer that Jesus has for us.